of the Father and the Son. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the first Sunday of the month of Abib, and the main event that happens in the month of Abib is the feast we celebrated yesterday, which is the Feast of the Apostles, which is the martyrdom of Saint Peter and Saint Paul. So this is why you'll find all of the readings for this month and the month of Abib. They're speaking about the apostles and the service and the labor and the ministry and so on. Today, then the first Sunday, the church wants to remind us of what Christ taught us about serving and then to invite us to join those who labor in the service. So there are many things for us to keep in mind from what the Lord had taught us this morning. The first thing maybe that we can know is the Lord Jesus, he had two times he sent the apostles or the disciples. The first time he sent the 12 and they went out to preach and minister and heal the sick. The second time was when he sent the 70 apostles. So if you notice, it goes from 12 to 70. And then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord says to the disciples, says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He didn't tell them to go and make, you know, followers, but make disciples. So he wanted it to go from 12 to 70, then to the whole church. So this work of labor for the church and the kingdom of God is all of our work. It's not just the work of the clergy and the servants and the deacons, but it's everyone. As members of the body of Christ, we serve together. And I'll remind you what the Lord Jesus told us. He says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So these are the two categories in Christ's eyes. Either we're gathering the people or we're scattering. It's one or the other. And he told the disciples today in the, or the apostles in today's gospel, he says, I appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place. So those apostles or disciples who were, you know, chosen to go, they're both chosen, prepared, and also sent. So all of us are invited, right? Then there's the preparation part, which some of it falls on me, and some of it falls on, well, most of it falls on me and my willingness to learn and to, you know, research and so on. And then the other is the being sent, where I go, you know, who directs where I go and so on. But it doesn't need like, maybe in some official services, yes, it needs to be sent. But there's a general service that we do within our families and within our communities that every one of us is asked to serve in. Whether it's one's home, workplace, or the church. But the important thing here is that he says what? He sent them before everywhere he himself was about to go. So he wanted them to prepare the people to see Christ. And what does he tell us? He says, you know, you are the light of the world. But who is the true light? It's Christ. So he wants us to go into the world to bear his image. So the people in our workplace, the people in school, the people everywhere, so when they see us, they should see who? They should see Christ. They should be able to say, this person is different. He is a Christian because he doesn't do X, Y, and Z, or she doesn't dress, or X, Y, and Z, or she doesn't say, or she doesn't gossip. They should know that we are Christian by how we carry ourselves. And notice today the gospel is focused on those who labor. You know, this goes maybe contrary to the age that we're living in, where everything is becoming more digitalized and everything is becoming so much easier. From the couch, you can do everything. You can order somebody to clean your house, you can order food, you can have groceries sent to you, and even they can come in your house and deliver it inside your house, right? It's getting to the lazy era, right? But here he's saying what? He's telling us to go and labor, and labor. And he warns us not to be lazy. In the book of Sirach, this beautiful verse, what does he say? He says, stand by your agreement and attend to it. So if there's an agreement you made, stand up and attend to it. And grow old in your work or in your labor. So he says, even in your old age, don't stop from labor. Yes, it might not be the same as when you were young, but don't stop from laboring and moving. Do not marvel at the works of a sinner, but trust in the Lord and continue in your labor. So he's saying, well, regardless of your age, continue to do some kind of work. And there are different types of works that are very easy and don't cost us much to do. For example, just a smile. Smiling in somebody's face is a work. You might bring joy to somebody's face. The other day, I was doing something, and maybe, you know, I was a bit on the stressed side, and there was a young girl who I met here in the church, and she just simply looked at me and said, "Thank you." And that made my day. Just a small, like, thank you. It came in its time. I felt it came from the Lord. So we find all of these things. We don't know where the people are, where a simple smile or a thank you can go a long way in sending the message of Christ. There's a story I heard from a priest who up in the north in the New Jersey area, who was telling me a mom was complaining to him because, like, she was saying, like, okay, he went to school, and in the school he befriended a kid who wasn't like a Christian. So when he came home and he was telling his mom, she was like, "How was school?" And he said, "So-and-so, I play with so-and-so." And he said, and she said, "But he's not Christian." He's like, "Yeah, you're right, mom, he's not Christian." She's like, "Shouldn't you find a friend maybe who's not like, who's Christian and not like this other denomination?" And he said, "You know, mom, when I look at him, I feel bad because I want him one day to enjoy Christ as I enjoy him." This was a little kid, right? And we don't do this. Now on the flip side, there's a woman also who had a son who was an avid like atheist. And as he grew, he saw his mom very devoted to Christ, and she loved the church so much, and this brought her so much joy despite the hardship in her life. But he was an avid atheist. He said, "I don't agree." And he would kind of mock his mom when she would go and kiss the icons and so on. But as he grew, he saw that this made her happy and the joy that she had. To the point where, you know, towards the end of her life, it says that this man was speaking with the priest and telling him how he came back to Christ. And he said, "I saw my mom enjoy Christ so much. And I loved her, although I didn't maybe believe at the time. I loved her so much and she was happy with Christ. I wanted to be where she was. So I became Christian because I saw the joy that she received in Christ. And I don't want to go into the afterlife not with where my mother is." So even somebody in her old age, a young child who can simply smile, or somebody, you know, who has a friend who wishes them to know Christ. All of these are works that we can do, very simple, and doesn't require anything, but I'm laboring. Another thing we need to understand about those who are invited to labor and work is that there's an apparent disparity. The Lord here said what? That the labor, the harvest is great and the laborers are few. You know, the harvest, when you go, is the time where the crop is ready. And if the crop is ready, if you don't gather it in a certain time, what happens to it? That's it. It dies, right? So he says there's always going to be this disparity where the harvest is great and ready for reaping, but the laborers who actually go out and do the work are fewer. So he says, pray to the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. This reveals that there is a spiritual need in the world. And if you look around us in society, you'll find many people are going after trying to find medical remedies or other natural remedies for things that are spiritual diseases and spiritual ailments. So many people are in need of the message of hope and the message of the gospel. And I think, you know, if we showed this, then this would be something that can engage people to speak about Christ and get to know him. How did the Lord send the disciples? He sent the 70 out two by two. Okay? So how many places did they go? Math test. 35, right? He sent them out two by two and they went to 35 places. Didn't he just say that the harvest is great? Wouldn't it make more sense to cover 70 places rather than 35 places? It would, especially if the harvest is great. You know, if I have a crop and I want to gather all of it, I'm not going to put two people on a machine. Each person will be on a machine so I can get as much harvest as I can. But he sent them out two by two. Why did he send them out two by two? A few reasons. Number one is perhaps to fulfill the principle of witness. In the Old Testament, it said, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter should be established. Maybe if he sends out someone with just a new message, it won't be believed. They'll think this person kind of made it up on their own. But when two people go out and are preaching and saying the same thing, then to them at that time, this confirmed the matter. There are two people who are saying the exact same thing and witnessing the same. The second reason maybe was for encouragement and also for accountability. In the labor and in the ministry, when we share the gospel, we're going to be met with much adversity and difficulty. We might face rejection, or we will face rejection, maybe persecution, and maybe there'll be times where there'll be a need. And he sent the disciples out without money bag or money sack or anything. So they're in a place of vulnerability. There'll be a need. So this needs encouragement. So when one maybe gets weak, the other can lift them up. The other is accountability. Okay, you do this and I do this, and I make sure that we kind of are both doing the work. So they're less likely for one to become lazy and stagnant. Companionship gave them support to one another, and they're able to encourage each other in service and prayer, and so on. Maybe another reason they sent them two by two was to manifest the communal nature of the church, that the church is a community. It's not an individual, right? It's more than one person who is serving. And this is the nature of the body of Christ. We said that we are all members of the body of Christ, united in his own body. So many in one. So there are two disciples united together in focus and in ministry, serving as one. Also, maybe he sent them two by two to reflect the relationship of the body of Christ, or the image of Christ, which is Christ is the head and the church is the body. They see the love between the two servants. They see the humility between the two servants. They see the submission between the two servants. And they see the unity in the mission. Those of us who had the privilege of maybe serving or knowing the Blessed Fathers of St. George Church and Sporting, Abuna Pshoy Kamel and Abuna Tedros Malati and Abuna Sedros, Abuna Lua Sedros, the three of them. The Abuna Lua passed away a few years ago, and many years ago we had him come to the priest's meeting, and he was giving us some talks, and he was telling us how his relationship with Abuna Pshoy and Abuna Tedros were, and how they're always doing things together, and they're very friendly. They would go sometimes, the three of them, and do visits together, and they would go and they would have lunch or something together. Their houses would be open to one another. It was very friendly atmosphere. And if you think about it, okay, there are three of them going to a visit. Again, it seems, and again, there are many thousands of people in Egypt. It'd be more efficient if they went and did three homes instead of one home. But what happened is, when the people saw that the three of them are united and the love between them, the one home became like 3 or 30. So it encouraged the people more, and they loved them more, and they were more effective. So it's not always about the number and the efficiency, more of the spirit. So maybe he sent them two by two, so when they go into the homes, the people see how they interact with one another and they love one another. That's why in Ecclesiastes it says two are better than one. Also, we know about the laborers or who are invited to serve, that the Lord described them as lambs among wolves. And this, the Lord, when he sent them, he didn't send them. Yes, he gave them authority, over demons and to cast out demons and to heal sicknesses and so on. But the way he described it to his disciples was they were going out as lambs among wolves. He didn't glamorize it. He didn't say when you go there, people are going to do this to you and you deserve this and go to the house that has the best. And he didn't glamorize it. He says you're going out to be devoured. Right? You're going out to the lambs among wolves. What do we expect when the lamb is in the midst of wolves? They're just going to look at it. This is lu'ta, forsa, right? They're going to go devour the lamb. Most of the disciples actually were either martyred or they continued their ministry until their death. But most of them were martyred. They gave their life for Christ. One of the saints, I don't remember if it's Saint Augustine or Saint Ignatius, but he said, when the wolves devour the lambs, they themselves will be transformed into lambs. So he sent them out as lambs among wolves. So that way the wolves will eat the lamb and they themselves will return into lambs themselves. And then these lambs will give themselves up for Christ and the wolves will eat them and they become lambs. So you find the whole world will be transformed into lambs. We see this in Scripture from the very beginning in the book of Acts. We see someone who is like Saint Stephen, who after he was called to be a deacon served a very short time. And then soon after that, he was stoned. And who was the one who was witnessing to him being stoned? Saint Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at the time. It says that he was standing by, guarding the clothes of those who were stoning Saint Stephen. Certainly this left an impact on him, right? That he saw this before him. So we see one who was the wolf, like Saint Paul, saw the one being devoured in Saint Stephen, and then Saint Paul himself transformed into a wolf. I'm sorry, into a lamb. What does he say? At the end of his life, in chapter 21, there's a prophet whose name is Agabus who made a prophecy about St. Paul. And he said to him, the one who wears this belt, which was St. Paul's belt, is going to go and he's going to be persecuted and so on and to be killed. So then the people, the disciples with St. Paul, they began to urge him, no, don't go, don't go, don't go. What was St. Paul's response? Look at this. And Acts 21, 12. He says, now when he had heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? So them trying to prevent him from going to become a martyr was breaking the heart of St. Paul. Why? Because he's a lamb. Because he's a lamb. For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. What he saw in Saint Stephen, he became him himself, the one who desired to be a martyr. Our challenge, my beloved, as we go out and labor, we'll be faced with hostility. And are we going to face it with aggression and violence? Certainly those aren't the way of the Lamb, but maybe with composure, with compassion, and with calmness. Also, he sends out the laborers to be agents of peace. He says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. So maybe if we say, okay, what distinguishes the Christian servant or the Christian laborer from anybody else? Yes, the first is love, and the second is like it, is peace. This is the third fruit, love, joy, peace. So if I'm going to serve the Lord, then I need to be a peacemaker. Or maybe you can say it a different way. If I'm a peacemaker, the people will see in me who? They'll see in me the Lord, the one who makes peace. You know, there was, at the time of Christ, there was an animosity between like the Samaritans and the Jews and the Gentiles and the Jews. And in many of the Lord's parables, the purpose of the parable was to reconcile the two together. You remember the story of the prodigal son, the lost son? And the older son was stayed in the house, and the younger son is the one who left his father's house. So the younger son represents the Gentiles who never knew the father well, and the older son who are the ones who are always with the father, like the Jews, right? So Christ is telling this story to them to reconcile them together, to bring peace together. Am I, and my presence online, and my presence among my friends, am I a peacemaker? Sometimes we spread gossip to one another, especially among any of the ladies. We spread things among each other. And then, you know, when they come and they share this with me, I said, what is the purpose of this? And there's no answer. I thought that they should know. Is this not going to make them more angry? Yes. Is it going to help solve anything? No. So here I'm just giving, bits and pieces of things that are hearsay. They're just gossip. They're not even, might not even be true. And all I'm going to do is trouble the person I'm telling him. We need to be wise and give only the information that will bring peace together, not that will stir hatred in the hearts of those who are around us. Same thing in the comments we make online. It's just the same. If we can't say something in front of somebody, we shouldn't comment that comment online. Also, he wanted them to trust him as well when he sent them to labor. He says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandal, nor greet anyone along the road. One might ask, okay, if he's going to send us, on a certain mission, what is he going to equip us with? Is he going to give us some money or food? How are we going to lodge? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? Okay, what's the plan when we get there? But that's not how God works. God says, go, and then you'll see my plan unfold. And your faith will grow because of this when you trust in me. When he called Abraham, he told him, leave your family and go, and I will be with you. And he left, had no idea where he was going. And then we see the beautiful man that Abraham became. And then he says at the end, when he was speaking with the disciples, says, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, or sandals, did you lack anything? And we might feel this, okay, if I'm going to witness Christ, what's going to happen? Could this affect my grades? Could this affect my work advancement? I might feel like, you know, I might lack something. And they said, nothing. Did you lack anything? They said, no, we lacked nothing. Everything and more was provided for us. Lastly, we find what the joy that comes in the service and in laboring with Christ. He says, do not rejoice in this, that the demons and things were subject to you, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He says, even the success in the ministry should not be our joy. The joy shouldn't come simply that people, you know, are responding to the message. The joy should say what, that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. Because if I focus my joy on the fruit and the fact that the people are responding to my message, this can fill me with pride. And maybe this will be the purpose of my ministry, is the response of the people. So then it becomes then a more, you know, I feed the people so I can feed my ego, right? Or I can feed my pride. The true reward is my relationship with God, my eternal relationship with God. When I serve Him, it pleases Him, and this relationship between Him and I is nourished. It's not something where I'm doing it simply for power or for stroking one's ego. Those who labor with Him are promised that their names are written in the kingdom of heaven, to be in His eternal presence. The Lord Jesus called, sent, and supplied all those who labor with Him. The invitation today is, will you join the labor? Or we ought to, because we are called by His name. We call ourselves what? Christians, right? Christians. We bear the name of Christ. We are called to labor with Him. And again, this doesn't have to be in formal ways. It can be in informal ways, in our dealings with our family, with our friends, and so on. The harvest is waiting. Many people, believe me, maybe they don't look like they're ready to hear the gospel, but they may look like tough and rough on the outside, or they don't hate everything. But deep down, there's a brokenness. And when we meet them with compassion and patience and love, this brokenness will be revealed and they might offer their hearts to the Lord. I'll leave you with this beautiful verse from Isaiah. He says, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. So those who serve Him and labor with Him will be fed, will drink, and will not thirst, and they will rejoice, and those who don't will be the contrary. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.